Would you go please to John chapter 14 tonight, John chapter 14, as we are thinking about the Lord's instructions to his disciples in the view that he was to be leaving them. And we're thinking about this indeed of a team of folk going out for the Lord, leaving us as it were and going out for the Lord and going with some instructions. So I want tonight, I've felt led to bring you some instructions for the trip. Amen. Because you're going to be out there among the wolves. There's all sorts of things you're going to be striking out there or coming up against over there. I've never been to that particular place, but I have been to Vanuatu, and I can imagine that if you've got similar things there than what you've got in Vanuatu, you could have even a few witch doctors getting creeping around the place. Is that true? Might be. Might show up. You never know with that lot what they might do. And so it's the unknown, isn't there? And so it is important for those that are going out that they remember some things that the Lord encouraged his disciples with. And you know, it is a fearful thing to be going out there to serve the Lord, and you're on the front row of the battle. And so, you know, the devil's going to be right there. He's going to be looking at what's going on. And no doubt he will not be real excited. So he'll be there trying to cause different problems, no doubt. So as the disciples and they were commissioned to go out by the Lord, there were some things that the Lord encouraged them with. In John chapter 14 there, as he is going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and his work, yet he reminds them not to be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. These disciples going out needed to know that no matter what the scenario or what might happen to them in the way, the Lord had prepared something for them on the other side. And life is short. Eternity is sure. I was talking to the good doctor on Sunday morning, and he was telling me just last week there were two deaths of patients that he had. And then yesterday we visited another dear saint of God who's laid aside with cancer and is not expected to live a real long time. It's good to know that this is not all that it is, all that it is. Amen. There is a life beyond, and praise God, there is a place prepared. And so as we go forward facing all sorts of different scenarios and possibilities and enemies of God, no matter what might happen, there's all kinds of disease and things that happen on the mission field. No matter what you face, it's good to go with this promise, knowing that the Lord Jesus has prepared a place for you. No matter what might happen, no, you're going to be flying about up in the air. You're going to be going over some mountains, I think, and you're going to be going into some rugged terrain. You need to know that the Lord's got it under control, amen. And no matter what might happen, whether it's here, there, or in the air, you'll be ready and you'll be relying upon the Lord's promise of his place prepared. And it's good to be able to encourage the Christian folk that you'll meet there with that truth. And then, of course, those that are not saved, they need to come to that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and a home in heaven. So it's a promised place, it's a prepared place, and it is entered through the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Wasn't that an interesting reminder that the Lord would give them? Their ministry of preaching the gospel, getting the message out, it was the message of Christ. We preach Christ and him crucified. It's all about the Lord Jesus. And the way to heaven is through Christ and knowing him in a personal way and receiving that wonderful eternal life. And what a joy that is to know that he gives eternal life. And we shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, said the Lord Jesus. I and my Father are one. So you go with that wonderful knowledge. You also go in a wonderful relationship. You are not going under your own auspices. I want to remind you and all of those that go out for the Lord Jesus Christ and all of us who stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't go in our own authority. Jesus said that he did only what the Father directed. Philip wanted to see the Father, and Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father, in verse 9. And he said, I and my Father are one, in another place. And in verse 10, believest thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me and doeth the works. The Lord Jesus went in the work of the Father, in the knowledge of the Father, and so should you. You're not going out on your own auspices to really make a dent for the Lord. Boy, you know, I'm young and I'm enthusiastic. I've got the gospel. These people are going to know, you know, and we're going to really make a difference. Or be careful. Don't go in your own authority. Don't go in your own power and your own strength. You will fail and falter. And so you go in the authority of the Father, so that when Satan attacks you, you can claim the authority and the protection of the Heavenly Father as you go forth into the work of God. What a wonderful relationship the Lord Jesus had with the Father. And what a wonderful relationship we have also through the Lord Jesus Christ with the Father. And the promise is that great things are going to take place. Look at verse number 12. And we should claim this in prayer tonight too, for the workers and the work that will be done, and those that labour on the field all the time. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And here it is. What an amazing statement. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Greater works. The promise of the Lord through you to do great things. And you should believe that. God is able to do great things. And go in faith, believing that. And believing this promise. And looking out for opportunity that the Lord may open, so that you would see great things done as you go forward in the Lord's name. So great works are promised as you go under that great authority. And then there is the wonderful promise of the authority that you have through the Father in prayer, verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Look at the motivation, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, that the Father might be glorified through you. If you ask anything in his name, he says, he will do it. So here again is a wonderful promise for prayer. And you can go forward with that promise and claim blessings. Of course, if you ask for something and it doesn't happen, you know that it's not quite the right timing yet. Okay? It's not the right timing, and it may be for later on what you're praying for. But it's up to the Father, isn't it? Up to the Father. Accept the Father's will in what you're doing. And if he closes the door on a particular thing that you're trying to achieve, well, then maybe he's going to open another one. So look to the Lord and rely upon him in prayer, that he is going to open up opportunities for his glory in seeing souls won and believers restored and saints encouraged, all of those wonderful things. And the Lord promised then that he would work in answer to prayer. It's a wonderful promise, that is, and great authority is there from the Father. He says, I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter. And really this is more the key of the message tonight. Jesus, when he was leaving his disciples, he was returning to the glory. He was telling them that the Comforter was going to come, the Holy Spirit, which he poured out at Pentecost and began the age of the Spirit, where the work of God would be accomplished in and through the believers by the Spirit of God. Said he would give another Comforter. How often missionaries and lonely soul winners and Christian workers and dear folk have needed to know that they have the Comforter with them. When you're feeling a bit down, you're having a down day, remember the Comforter is with you. And look to him to comfort and to encourage and to uplift you so that you'll be a good testimony and be able to comfort the comfortless through the comfort that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But this Comforter is the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. The Holy Spirit is in you, indwelling you. You have the indwelling Christ. You have the indwelling Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God relates to you the truth of Christ and the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit is the Comforter, the Strengthener. Go in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Remember that promise in the Old Testament, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Don't go in your own strength. Go in the strength of the Spirit of God, who is enabling to give you power to overcome, to give you power to live, to give you power to communicate the wonderful truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. No doubt you are going to be placed sometimes in a position where somebody's going to ask you a question or some situation is going to come about where you are going to need to explain why you're there, what the gospel's all about, amen? Or what your authority is in coming there and what the message is all about. He shall teach you all things. There's going to be times when you're going to be without answer. You're going to not know quite what to say. At that time, what does the Word of God say? Open your mouth wide and I will fill it, saith the Lord. Amen. And I'm not talking about a pizza or something. I'm talking about the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, effective communication for the Lord and the things that you need to be sharing. Trust God to give you the words to say and speak out. Remember, one of the great things that you have is a testimony. That's a great thing to impact upon the lives of unsaved folk round about and to show that Jesus Christ is the Saviour for you and for them, remembering that. He can save them as much as you. It's not just the white man's religion, amen? Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world, and the message of Christ is a message for all men. So go in the love of Christ and bring that message. Here it is, he'll bring all things to your remembrance. Now, one of the things about the challenges about this is that you have to have known it first for it to be brought to your remembrance. So that's why we have all these budding college students now, these Bible students around the place, amen? They are seeking to learn and to remember and then that it would come back to them when they need it, amen? And that will be the case. You'll bring it to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. There are times as well when you're going to be a little bit perturbed. And he says in verse 27, what's that old word perturbed mean? You probably don't hear it much anymore. You're going to be a bit, feeling a bit uneasy about the situation and yourself and where you fit and how you fit and all the rest of it. And going to lack a little bit of peace. He says, my peace I give unto you. Amen. not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Going to be in some situations where maybe you're feeling danger or you're feeling out of your comfort zone. That's what I'm looking for there. You're going to be feeling out of your comfort zone. And the Lord is going to want to comfort you and just give you peace. Yes. So that you portray the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the reality of your relationship with the Lord. So here's the Spirit of God then, to comfort. The Spirit of God to give peace. The Spirit of God to encourage. The indwelling presence of the Lord himself. And then I want you to go over into 16, because the Lord's teaching here spreads over on the Holy Spirit. Over into 16 here in verse number 7. Verse number 6 and 7 there. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. This is that he was leaving for glory. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go, I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but I will depart. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. He's done that. The Comforter is there and he's indwelling you if you're a child of God. Verse 8 really is a key verse here. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. So here is the work of the Holy Spirit. As you are seeking to share the message of God, as you are seeking to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, the Holy Spirit is working. He's going to do the work. He's going to do the reproving. He's going to do the work in the heart of the one that you're speaking to. So don't overdo it. Don't try and be the Holy Spirit. Yes. And force people into a situation, you know, where they are forced to answer the question in the way that you want them to. Be careful of that. Be careful. No matter what we say, we cannot force people to make a response to the message of God. After having heard preaching of the Word of God, we need to rely upon the Spirit of God to take the message to the heart of the congregation and to do the convicting work. And sometimes the best time for that to happen is when we, the saints of God, are in prayer. Yes. When we are in prayer and there's absolutely nothing being said. Absolutely, some of the best invitations I've ever been involved with, where the message is brought loud and clear and the preacher preaches a message loud and clear. I'm thinking of one particular message that a great senior preacher that I respect, old Dr. Smith, is still travelling the world and well into his, 80s? Well into his late 80s and still travelling to about 25 countries a year and preaching the gospel. He's got a great earthquake message. If ever you can try and Google that or somehow or whatever, however you get these messages down YouTube or whatever you do, I wouldn't have a clue. Anyway, be careful though what you're doing. Not seeing the wrong sort of stuff and hearing the wrong gear. But he has an earthquake message, and one night he preached that earthquake message for 45 minutes about how the world toward the coming of the Lord is going to be racked with earthquakes. And then he had the statistics on how many earthquakes there had been in that last year and the intensity of the earthquakes and so forth. Well, that has continued. And anyway, he had a wonderful message, and he invited folk then. If they did not know Christ and they were not ready for the judgment, they were not ready for the return of Christ, would they be ready? And a number of folk that night received Christ as their Saviour. That one pastor wanted to dispute how many received the message. Well, that was another story. And what a sidetrack that was. But how wonderful it was. The Spirit of God had taken the message and convicted folk of their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the work of the Spirit. That's the work of the Spirit. That's why we need to bathe our preaching in prayer, our testimony in prayer as we go out. And we should bathe it all in prayer that the Spirit of God will take that message and apply it to the hearts of the hearers. And that's what we need, the moving of the Spirit of God. We don't need high-powered sort of stuff that pressurizes people. We need the working of the Spirit of God. And that comes through prayer. That comes as God's people rely upon the Spirit of God and pray for the convicting power of God to come on the hearts of men and women. Tonight, some of you, if we have prayer requests, some of you, I'm going to make sure you've got time. Somebody better tell me when to stop. And you know that there are going to be prayer requests. Oh, pray for grandmother. She is so ill. Pray for Uncle Joe. He's had an operation on his toe. And Aunt Sally, she's not doing the best, you know. And I think she's getting the flu. And pray for, whatever. The requests that we hear. But, you know, for a lot of that sort of stuff, you know what we really ought to be praying? That Aunt Sally would get saved.
Amen.
Or whatever, Sally or Susie or whoever. She is saved. What a smile. Praise God. Anyway, but you know, we'll bring prayer requests. Yes. All manner of things. And sometimes praying for someone to be healed when they're right near death's door. They're that close. They're only a breath, a heartbeat from heaven or hell. And how we need to be praying for them that they, this prayer, that they would be convicted of sin,
amen,
righteousness, yes, and judgment. You know, there are those, the worst type of the religious. Oh, I'm no sinner. Well, you've heard the story of righteousness, the righteous one going to the Father. There's only one righteous one, that's the Lord Jesus. And there is judgment to come, and the prince of this world is judged. He was judged at the cross, and the final sentence will be meted out on him at the return of the Lord. Well, over into chapter 15, back a little bit there, to remind you about this one thing here. And this is probably the last thing that I really have time to mention tonight. In verse 15, chapter 15 and verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch that beareth not fruit he taketh away. There's discipline, there is pruning in the lives of people that are not right with God, in the lives of God's people that are not right with God and not living for God. There's going to be some pruning there. In verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in me, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. The need to just be resting in the Lord,
yes,
and conscious of your position in Christ, who you are and what you are in the Lord, and that you would bear fruit. That you would allow the Spirit of God to work in and through you, to share the precious words of life, to manifest our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ to the lives of those round about. You know, our words don't get too far unless they see Christ in and through us, unless we're relying upon Him for His strength and His power and His enabling. I know I was young once, believe it or not. I know when you're young, you're going to go, amen, praise God. Boy, I tell you what, if I was the age of some of you, I'd be on this trip, all right. I'd be hitting New Guinea and Vanuatu, wherever, brother. I'd be out here on these streets more too. But, you know, though you're youthful and you're excited and enthused, let it be the reliance upon God,
yes,
and the abiding in Him. So that when things don't work out, by the way, sometimes, I hate to tell you, on your trip, there may be some situations, things that don't work out too well. The father says, they need this bit of pruning, they need this bit of a trial, need a bit of a thorn, a burr in the saddle or something, a thorn in the flesh. Might need something like that. Sometimes things may not be quite and work quite as you thought. Abide in Christ and say, thank you, Lord, you know what you're doing and you know what is best. And I trust you for that. Do that work in and through me. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, the word of God is so important. Amen. You shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That promise for answered prayer is to do with the abiding life. We're relying upon the Lord. So we are hidden in him, relying upon him to do the work through us, that he can work through us and that he can love souls through us, that others would see the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember these truths as you go in the situations that you face out there. And remember, it's a spiritual battle and warfare. I don't need to direct you that way to scriptures that tell you that. I hope and I'm sure that by now you understand that. And it is going to be tough from time to time.
Yeah.
It is going to be difficult and people are going to be difficult. Situations are going to be difficult. But rely upon the Lord.
Amen.
Christ, and remember, don't be defeated in it. You're on the victory side. Remember, Christ won the victory at the cross. Read the back of the book. He wins. He's the victor.
Yeah, hallelujah.
So go forward in that, relying upon our great God.